dass ihr alle da seid.
Hi, great that you're here.
Okay, das heißt, ich erzähle manche Menschen Neues.
Okay, right, that's great. This means I tell some new things to you. I was already fearing. Okay, those who were at Anne's talk earlier. Some other students. I used to be a student until this October. We are a young generation. We are digital. We are connected. We all have a smartphone, right? That's also what the University of Hamburg was thinking. Right, I tell you the story. Because the University in Hamburg decided that starting last summer semester, your semester ticket will be digital. Before this, you had a piece of paper. But now, last March, we got the email that when the new semester starts, everything will be digital, your ticket. Right, so if you don't have a smartphone for your ticket, then you will probably get a chip card, but we don't know yet. This is going to be decided, nobody tells us. And this will be a special rule. Only in certain cases you will get this rule. When you get this, we also can't tell you yet. Right, so we assume that all the students are young and are able to have a smartphone. Right, so 2 weeks later we get another email. The semester had already started. It will only be via app. You won't get a piece of paper. We are really sorry, but you can print this QR code and then maybe this will work. But you have to use this app. Yes, so for the students without a smartphone, right, we figured everyone would have one, but some don't. We now offer the place to trade smartphones with those of you who don't have one. So if you have an old smartphone, you can trade it in, because every one of us is paying for this ticket. Every one of us should use it. Okay, but now we have to say now the chip card is available starting this semester. You can get it for 15 euros, and then you get the 15 euros back, but first you have to pay for them. Right. Having said all of this, welcome to my talk, Error 406, Request Not Acceptable, Digital Coercion as a Human Security Problem. About myself, about the speaker, I'm Cherry. I have now done my Master in Peace and Security Studies. And for my Master's thesis, I talked about digital coercion as a human security problem. Right. I talked to 18 people, interviewed them, and then used their...
And I looked at results from different groups, and I'm hoping that the tech will show my slides. And yes, it's digital, and yeah, we're working on it. And we're going to start with the big word, human security. What is that? Human security is a term from security research, and it's actually from development help or research. And it is meant to describe security not as a static thing, but as security is given when humans are secure. And this was a revolution in mindset, because it was about the question, how does the state handle its citizens? And the whole thing was developed as a protection against hunger and also against disadvantages in everyday life. And of course, this can also be abused for political motives. And this is something that affects all of us. And we all want to be secure. And we want to develop ourselves as individuals the way we want. And it's important to understand this term in this context. So the negative piece is the absence of physical violence, and I can work as what I want, and I can move and dress any way I like and contact the people I want to be in contact with. And if we connect this with digital coercion, and then I remember how digital courage has developed itself, and we see that digital coercion is the lack of privacy conform measure or the lack of possibilities for analog and accessible alternatives. For example, when I'm at a restaurant and there's a QR code and I don't have a smartphone, or if my battery has run out, then I should have an alternative. And also there is services provided by the state that, like water and heat and infrastructure and education and social participation and political participation have to be possible. And digital coercion can exist if those alternative methods do not exist. And there are four different ways how digital coercion can be established or can happen. For example, it might be possible that some electricity contracts can only be signed electronically, or train tickets can only be bought online. And connected with that is often mandatory access or access to data. And you often have situations where people are forced to either pay or pay with their data. And it's not always clear what's tracked. And we have to talk a lot about the German trains. We have to talk about the trains all the time. And now that we are looking at Google, account coercion is also a topic. Who of you has a Google account? Who is using Apple infrastructure? Who has an Apple ID? Who has a Google account? Yay, I don't have to tell you what a coercion to have an account is.
And you know about alternatives such as F-Droid and other app stores where you can download apps. Without them, this device is just a light, colorful screen to us. But connected with that is also the coercion to use apps. So many things can only be used via an app anymore, and which includes identification with your bank, for example. My bank will no longer allow a chip tan for online banking. My health insurer will no longer will only allow data uploads via an app these days. And the question then is, am I going to download this? Can I just scan the document and send it in, mail it in? And then the question also is this all accessible? If that is not given, that then some people are before in front of a closed door anyway. And being in front of these closed doors can happen in many ways. You can be denied by disability, so a lack of skill, denied by poverty, and you can have self-denied access too. And to if you've heard Anne Roth's talk, you've heard this number already, but a quarter of people in Germany are without online access. And these are between 18 and 74 years old. So the people after that, my grandparents' generations are not, are not even included. So a large percentage of people do not have access to the commodities that many state services now assume that you have. Many don't even have a mobile device or internet-capable device. And 33% say that they do not do any online banking. So if they're in their... where they live, the last bank closes, they are denied a service. So there is no digitalized society in Germany yet. And having a device doesn't even imply that you have the competence. Then we have deniable disability. These are people that lack the compatibility. And these are people that are disproportionately affected by exclusion. people with a physical disability that need screen readers, etc. People might profit from subtitles functions, but we can see that many websites on the internet are not even accessible. Something's not working. People with disabilities simply cannot use these websites. What is often an issue as well is media addiction, and everything that's digitalized is, for the people affected by this, another risk to fall back into their addiction, something that is too often overlooked. Also, people with disabilities also have the issue of participating in a digital space, not just access, but being able to use a forum. They want to be able to operate some functions and cannot, and they are therefore excluded. And this is the classic example of nanny Erna doesn't have a mobile, so I'm going to do it for her. These are people that have been accustomed to digital devices quite late in their lives. And they may have had their job to deal with, and now they're in retirement and simply lack the ability to get into these new technologies. So I am something around Gen Z, I never quite know. I know where to operate and where to click and tap. I know the key combinations. My nan cannot do that, my grandmother. So that leads to insecurity, and that sense of insecurity, the kind of confidence to use these services is no longer there, which then in turn leads to people simply choosing not to use certain offers, not participating, because they are afraid of making mistakes. Poverty is another issue, which is too often overlooked. In Germany in 2022, 2.6% of the people in Germany didn't have the money to afford an internet connection. Cost for IT devices isn't even included in this. I don't have 500 euros to spare necessarily to buy myself a device, or I can only afford a very cheap device. That doesn't comply with modern needs in terms of security or comfort or functionality. And what also comes on top of this, certain professions do not require an internet connection. I have an office job. I am confronted with technology every day. I used to work with Windows. Now I have Linux at work and I use a Mac. I know all these three operating systems, but there are people that never sit in front of a screen in their working life, be they construction workers, supermarkets, employees. They have a different understanding of digital services and probably less. And their digital competence doesn't increase in the same way that the competency of someone working in an office does. They're not confronted with the newest technology, newest software, and they cannot put these things into practice. Because you have to remember, if you digitalize something and modernize something, this is something you have to think about. And the last group, and I think there are many faces in that group here, these are people that simply reject certain offerings because these do not conform with their ideas of privacy and informational self-determination. They say, I don't want to use Google or Apple or Adobe or whatever, because I do not want to submit my data to all these places. And I don't want state institutions to export the data. And I want to be self-determined. And there may be a group that says, I don't want that much of digital in my life. I don't want to be bound by it. I don't want to be governed by the state of my battery to know that I can get home, for example. I don't want to carry this device with me all the time, which distracts me. These are all items that play a role here and that are part of digital exclusion. So we see that we have a large digital divide in our society. And the question then is, do you have rights to access, and do you have rights to defend yourself against these coercions? So defending yourself, you want the coercion to not be introduced in somewhere. I don't want companies to create a movement profile of myself. So protecting against intrusions from state institutions or other actors that have a similar amount of power. On the other hand, access rights. Germany is a welfare state, a social state. So I have the expectation that the state will provide certain things. And if it doesn't, then the state is neglecting its obligations. This is about access to basic services, heating, sewage, perhaps, participation, etc., etc. And what I would also like to stress is in the conversations with my interview partners, there wasn't an anti-digital attitude. They were not hating technology. Technology, digitalization can bring a lot of advantages, but the way it is being done isn't working for me, they said. And I cannot change myself, so something else has to change for me to be able to use these services.
And digital coercion with my interview partners has shown itself in various ways, from health to mobility to banking, participation in politics, in the administration, in education, yes, and social participation. Yes, for example, there was DoctorLib, which only allowed you to book appointments with your doctors only online or for the COVID vaccination. Yes, so many people had to ask like their children or their grandchildren to book themselves an appointment. Or also the German electronic patient document. Yes, another thing is that health insurance offices close, which means it's become harder and harder to get like information about my health insurance if I don't do it online because I have to travel further or I have to be stuck in a hotline for a long time. Yes, mobility is such a thing. We talked about the semester ticket. The Germany ticket is also only available by app, usually. The Bahncard is another thing with German trains. Things like car sharing, like the mobility scooters. For these, you also need to install a proprietary application. About finance, we saw online banking when the banks close in your village. Yes, those who earlier were in Anne Roth's talk, I can say again that in Berlin you could only go to a swimming pool if you could buy the ticket online. And your options for paying was only PayPal, which is a proprietary bank with very weird leaders, or you had to pay by credit cards, which people underage usually don't have a credit card. So you had to ask your parents if you wanted to get into a swimming pool, which kind of sucks because you always have to ask your parents if you're 14 years old and want to do something on your own. Right. Another thing we have is that the newspapers are more and more moving to online because this is much simpler. For example, there are e-papers for which you need proprietary apps or pay or okay on news websites, or that everything is now only announced over social media. I'm not talking about Mastodon, I'm talking about Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, where you have to be on to access your news. Right, so social participation is also a large thing. A lot of people use WhatsApp because they don't use WhatsApp because they don't want their data to end up with Meta. But a lot more people say, well, bad luck. If you don't use WhatsApp, unfortunately, we are unable to keep contact anymore. So I had a friend of mine, and I didn't want to install this app, and then the other person cut contact with me because they basically required me to have WhatsApp, and that kind of sucked. Right, this is also a form of exclusion that goes along with this, with WhatsApp. Right, and finally, education. During COVID, everyone needed to use a digital device. Everyone used Teams everywhere. Right, the data were collected everywhere. Nobody knew what was being collected. And for people underage, that doesn't really matter. Yeah, let's all pretend that we make progress, no matter the cost. Yes, and what I could see is that the person I talked to, one of those people I interviewed, was that they tried to find solutions. For example, they tried to do everything in an analog way, as long as it's available, in order to prevent that the data is being entered into a digital system at all. So they went to the doctor's office, and if they had to do paperwork, then they actually printed out paper physically in order for it not to be saved with Microsoft. You use ad blockers, Yes, you use Archive and other websites in order to avoid being tracked. You use a lot of open source. Or you have a second device, because you say you have one main smartphone, which is free of Google, and then you have a second smartphone or something which works and which you only use for banking. But this, of course, means you have to have two devices. You have to be able to afford two devices, which is difficult.
Yes.
In other places, you have to keep on explaining yourself, why do I keep making everything harder for everyone by refusing the data services, which makes me look weird, and people like talk about me weirdly. This is also difficult. So what we can see is there are restrictions in many different kinds. So one thing is whether I no longer talk to some person that I used to know once. Another thing is that my family no longer tells me when we have like a family event because I don't have WhatsApp and they refuse to call me. This is maybe harder. Yes. I don't have to explain to you that this sucks. My precious limited time on this earth has to be spent on running to places because I have to test out things, because I have to set things up myself, because I can't use the nice already provided solution because it tracks all of my data. I have to use a second device, I have to spend extra money, I can't use the offers for reductions at supermarkets because I would have to use the app to get the reduction, or I just can't inform myself over what is going on in the social media, what is going on in the world. When I say social media, I mostly mean Facebook and stuff. Right, so a part of popular culture, of daily culture, is no longer available to me because it's only on those social media platforms. And this, of course, limits my ability to participate in social life. And we're living in a democracy, and then I can't participate.
And why am I standing here and talking about it? Here, it is not seen as a big problem. And that is because we have a disbalance of structural power. And this is about a relationship where you have some actors who have more power while others have less power. And the people who have the power, they want to maintain their power. And yes, of course, I have the option to not use WhatsApp, but if I want to use the infrastructure, then I have to agree to the conditions of that structure. And there's no way to connect to others, to network with them, and there's no way to change. We have seen the exodus, or the people leaving from Twitter, because there were so many fascists, or fascism was on the rise, and there is a certain eagerness and readiness to move, but the big change is not happening, and that is because we have a responsibility problem. The problem is that the responsibility, which was originally or in earlier days in the hands of the state, it is now it's now in the hands of the users, and it is now my responsibility if I'm allowing 500 parties my data because I don't accept the cookies. And this transfer of data is leading to us being in a corner, and we are at a disadvantage. And it's the same thing with taking the train. If your battery runs out, then you are responsible for the fact that you don't have a smartphone with an app, and the battery has to be full, and you have to arrange everything. And now the responsibility is at your place. And now I have enraged myself a bit, but let's talk about human security again. People need to be able to use their human capabilities to the fullest extent to use the abilities optimally. More time is needed. More time needs to be invested because I'm restricted in my options due to digital coercion. And digital coercion is restricting people. People cannot live their lives the way they should be able to live their lives. And to summarize, digital coercion does not mean that we are against digitalization, but we demand that digitalization is implemented in such a way that our concerns and our needs are addressed as users, and that politicians only think about the average citizen, but don't look at the non-average citizens. It's about who is allowed to participate in the public discourse. It's about the protection of human rights, about the right to assemble, about the right of movement, and it is about how we can trust the big technical corporations, and I cannot trust those organizations if I don't know what is happening behind the scenes. And therefore, my advice, complain whenever possible and don't give up. I have promised I will also bring some positive examples, and I found some, yes. We have in Schleswig-Holstein, the government management software is now Linux-based. We have OpenAPS, which is a project where insulin pumps for type 1 diabetes is using open infrastructure or open technology. And then there's lastly this project which uses the Open Matrix Communication Protocol. And I also like to thank you guys who are hosting Mastodon servers, who are running Nextclouds, and who are making it possible to not rely on big tech. Thank you very much.
I would so much second that. This was a very inspiring statement, wasn't it? Yes. Let's give Sherry a bit of a breather and an applause, because I think there is a certain excitement in the room. And I can see the first hands. We have about 10 minutes left for questions and answers. And yes, who would like to ask a question? Raise your arms, please. I'll start at the very front.
Yes, thanks a lot. Thanks for your presentation. You gave a really good summary. I would like to add one addendum about exclusion based on skill. Many people think this problem will eventually die off when all the old unskilled people die off, because when we get older, we lose our abilities when we grow older, which means that it's a wrong assumption to assume that all those old people will eventually be gone and then we all be able to use those services, right? When we get older, we lose our abilities. Therefore, this problem of old people not being able to access those things will not go away. Once we are old, we will also likely be cut off from technological development. And another point that I find very important is that those of us who want technology to be good really have to do something against digital coercion, because we have to be able to refuse bad technology. This is the only way that technology can become good. So if you love technology, you have to hate digital coercion. So we from Digital Courage, we want to add to Germany's constitution a right to have freedom from digital. You can go to digitalcourage.de and there you can sign it, or you can sign it in an analog way.
Yes, you have to say you think of disabilities, and most disabilities are not something you are born with. You acquire them in life. So if you're okay now, be happy about that. It might change. So how accessible is our world exactly? I've seen another question there. You have a microphone.
Okay, it doesn't really help to complain about the trains in Germany or the politicians, but maybe to also start here on this forum. Right, 25 years ago, I was on Congress for the first time. I could just go there and pay. Today, getting a ticket for this Congress is basically a lottery. Then I have to pay by bank transfer or with a credit card. So a place where I experience digital coercion is when I want to participate here at this Congress. So, right, not only complain about the trains in Germany, the problems are known, but also here at Chaos Communication Congress, I experience digital coercion, like in few places elsewhere.
That is an important remark, and the best way to complain about digital coercion is to actually complain and not just to hang around and be frustrated. It would be fantastic if you would not use Google Maps on your phones. That is another way of rejecting this. Yeah, I always do that with German Airways.
Okay, we have a question from the internet. Yes, I would like to know whether you have an idea, whether you can figure out whether your agencies, when you interact with the state, whether they use your data responsibly.
Well. Let's start with the German government agencies switching to Microsoft 365. That will be an answer to many questions. I've read about also storing things on Amazon cloud services. That might be an answer to your question. And I think we have Frag den Staat around, the website that you can use for freedom information requests. And that would be the best point to ask this question.
Okay, I have to say, this is a topic with a lot of interaction from the audience. Unfortunately, we don't have much time left, only like 5 minutes. So I would ask you to refrain from comments and to only ask precise questions. Okay, I have a small comment about lack of skill, because it was said that this is often forgotten. We also have the problem that, like, technological competence also with young people is getting worse and worse. When Gen Alpha or whatever it is work with technology, then they only use like simple UIs, and this means they have a worse understanding of technology and are losing their competence, and they're also affected by this problem. Okay, more questions? Raise your hands. Okay, we found one. All right. I'm thinking about whether this is connected to this topic at all, but how do you view those questions that the EU is doing currently about forcing WhatsApp to offer interoperability between other chat services? What do you think about things like this? Can this help with this? I also see this as a problem, but what do you think?
Oh dear, how much time have I got? About 4 minutes, okay. Right, I knew this question would come. Right, in principle, this is a fantastic thing if networks can federate with each other. I am on Mastodon, as you can see, and I think it's fantastic that you can kind of connect these islands. The problem with WhatsApp and other proprietary messengers is that they will not kind of adapt to the level of encryption used in things like Signal. So if we have this disparity, you would often tend towards the lowest common denominator, and that makes things more and more insecure. Do correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is no way of to make these communications between different types of messengers. I think there is no way for doing that yet. If it was, it would be cool, but if we don't have that, but as long as we cannot exchange content between messengers in an encrypted way, well, the idea is cool, but the implementation is difficult, and that's always the case with legal projects.
Okay, we have 3 minutes left. All right. I would like to give a positive report because you said complain, 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 and Digital Courage is currently suing the German trains due to the tracking in the app. We're still waiting for a day in front of a judge, but we're making progress because since mid-December, you can now buy the reduced tickets without entering an email address or a mobile phone number. This has changed due to a complaint by the Hessian Data Protection Officer against the German trains. We gave the Bahn the Big Brother Award this year, and this seems to have helped. This was the first success of ours. There's also a second success. I'm not sure who heard of it. We gave a Big Brother Award to DHL because the DHL pack stations, you can only access your parcels there with a smartphone. And nowadays, you can again talk to DHL and say that you don't like your packets to go into a pack station. And you can also say that your parcels can go to a pack station that you can access without a smartphone. This is also an option you have available now. Right? This is a small success, but it is a success.
Absolutely. And do praise if things go well, if someone uses OpenStreetMap. Tell them. Tell them that this is cool. Baby steps. Tell your relatives about various signal being better than WhatsApp, for example. Make it as low-key as possible. It's unnerving, it's grinding, but it's better than nothing. Show them alternatives. Why is this possible? Why is it better? And through that, I think from this grassroots level, we can make a difference and help building a cleaner environment.
That sounds like a nice conclusion. Positive reinforcement. Praise what you like. And with that, let's praise Sherry for this nice and inspiring talk.
Thank you.